Today FM's Last Word on Business with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
Ian Guider, Markets Editor with the Business Post, is here for our daily business update. And let's get the bad news out of the way first. And these are truly shocking unemployment figures for the month of April that were released today. Tell us about them, Ian.
Yeah, good evening, Matt. I have to say they kind of took me aback a little bit as well, because I fought in the last number of weeks when we spoke about the numbers claiming the wage subsidy and the unemployment figures, they had kind of reached their peak. But we got these shocking figures today, just to give people the numbers. 28.2% unemployment rate at the end of April. That is the most on record in Ireland. And it's up from 15.5% in March. Now, significantly, Matt, this does not include all of the people, all the 400,000 people claiming the temporary wage subsidy scheme. So we are only talking about people on the pandemic unemployment payment and the normal job seekers payment. So it just gives you, when you add those two figures together, so there's about 602,000 people on the pandemic unemployment payment, a further 200,000 on the regular jobless payment, and 400,000 on the actual temporary wage subsidy scheme as well. So when you add all of those figures together, we're looking at 1.2 million people on some form of government support. Now, that is astonishing, Matt. And some of the other figures in there for youth unemployment, 18 to 24-year-olds. Now, obviously, a lot of these people would work part-time, but you're looking at a 52% unemployment rate. Like, these are staggering numbers. Like, these are not even being replicated in some other countries. The US unemployment number came out today and it's under 15%, and that's a record high over there.
So why is it far worse here in this country? So is that do we actually have an enormous amount of people working in things like construction still, retail, and also hospitality?
Yeah, and again, a lot of it falls down to, look, we have an awful lot of students who work, so obviously they are entitled to claim the payment. We know that there have been claims that some people are actually benefiting from being on this payment as well. You know, one of the things you have to look at in all of this, Matt, is what happens if we don't get the economy opened up to the time frame that we had published last Friday? What happens if it takes any longer? Can the state continue to pay this amount of money out every single week, either €350 for the pandemic payment or €410 for the temporary wage subsidy scheme? So a lot of the resolving of this will be how quickly we can get the economy back open again, and can we even speed it up much more quicker than the time frame that has been released? I know there will be many people saying we should listen to the health advice and follow what NPHET are saying to the letter, but you have to look at the economic consequences of this, Matt. We simply cannot afford to have the economy in shutdown, in a coma or hibernation or whatever you want to call it. When we see these figures out today, it is, you know, we are at the peak and it will reduce in the coming weeks when the construction activity is back open again from the 18th of March or the 18th of May. But you would still be looking at, on those figures today, you'd still be looking at north of 500,000 people on the pandemic payment.
OK, let's move on. And a very interesting story that you've picked up about Facebook and Google telling staff they can work from home until Christmas. This is a story you picked up outside of Ireland, but it must be very relevant to Ireland, given that between them, those companies must employ over 10,000 people in Dublin. And we saw when Google, remember earlier this year, was one of the first to take a day in which it tested whether people could work from home. The knock-on consequences in what's known as Google Town were enormous for all of the cafes and restaurants and other shops which depend on those people turning in for work in Google.
Yep, and I would imagine there are many people in the property industry looking at these stories and thinking, well, will people ever come back to the buildings, or will they look at working from home and reducing their office requirements? Yeah, and this will impact Ireland, because of course what happens in Google around the world impacts what's happening here, and these do apply to Facebook and Google's offices around the world. Staff are being told that yes, they are looking at reopening the offices, that work from home from everybody will end at some point. However, until the end of this year, the start of next year, not everybody will be returning to the office. We know for some time that physical distancing will have to take place in offices. We know that it is going to be a change of how people work in the offices, because, of course, you can't have half a dozen people crowding into a lift. You can't have thousands of people into an office building, streaming in and out, brushing past each other, going along stairwells, congregating in kitchens and breakout areas. So the office place will change. Google and Facebook, they have managed so far for the last number of months, their activities, their business has continued with people working from home. It has worked successfully for the vast majority of companies. So they are extending this out until the end of the year, as I said, because of the social distancing requirements, which you would wonder if some employees, and particularly in non-critical parts of a business that are not either dealing with customers face-to-face or not in meetings with customers over video link, will this be the start of allowing people to work from home a little bit more often? And the knock-on impact, as you say, for all of the retail and hospitality companies and all of the service providers to these companies, don't forget they employ lots of people in their own kitchens, Matt, lots of people who come in to clean the buildings, lots of people who service buildings. All of those people will be reliant on big companies coming back to work in the next couple of months. And then down the line, if a large multinational is going to expand, do they need the same floor plans? Do you need open plan offices now in this environment where we are going to be a little bit more distant? Or can you bring people in a couple of days a week, let them work from home 2 or 3 days a week? All of this will have a huge impact on the spending by these companies in the next couple of years.
Although some of them are apparently thinking they'll need as much space to allow for the social distancing, that even if they were bringing in a third of their workforce on any particular day, they might need as much space as they already have for a full workforce.
And I'm sure, Matt, there's many people that can't wait to get away from home right now and are driven up the walls by sitting at work in an office in their attic.
Yeah. OK, something else that is interesting to see in a report in the Irish Times today, that some of the countries' highest paying law firms are having to cut pay and bonuses because even their work is drying up.
Yeah, and look, we focus mainly on the visible sectors that we see every day, the restaurants, the pubs, the hotels, the coffee shops, the hairdressers. But yeah, look, the economy is taking an absolute battering, Matt. We've seen the projections that have come out from the central bank, the Department of Finance, that overall economic activity is having a huge, huge downturn right now. We are in the deepest recession we have seen, even worse than 2009. So it shouldn't be a surprise that professional services firms are also seeing that. So some of the big law firms, McCann Fitzgerald, William Fries, Arthur Cox, have told the Irish Times today, really good piece by Peter Hamilton, about some of the measures they have put in place. McCann Fitzgerald talking about a 20% reduction in hours, people being worked by salary by workers out there. So that obviously has a knock-on impact on salaries, although they do note that people under the will not be earning less than 38,000 per year. They're talking about partners in these firms taking a reduction in their distribution of profits every year. Arthur Cox saying that, again, its staff will be taking no bonuses this year across the firm, and that its senior partners, who effectively take huge sums of money every year from the profits, they will not be getting any major distributions. William Fry, again, looking at cuts to bonuses and senior partner pay. A couple of the big firms, Goodbody and Matheson, not disclosing their payment options right now. But again, all of these firms reporting a drop in activity, Matt, which will have a knock-on effect for next year as well, because of course law firms, like everybody else, have to make profits before they can distribute it to their partners. So a couple of difficult years ahead for the legal sector, you would imagine.
Ian, just to finish, one I hadn't planned to bring up with you, but Niall mentioned it during the 6 to 6, and we've just had the release in from the Department of Transport, Tourism and Sport. The government agreeing to provide a state guarantee for refund credit notes issued by Irish licensed travel agents and tour operators. This is a very interesting one because I think an awful lot of people were concerned about their family holidays for the summer that they had already booked. And I know the travel agents were in a position whereby they couldn't get money back, perhaps be it from the hotels or the camping sites around Europe that they'd booked holidays with. And they were also having problems getting money back from the airlines with which they had actually booked flights. So this, I suppose, is something of a halfway house, although an awful lot of people would love to have the cash back to use. At least they know that the money now can be put to a holiday, hopefully next year.
Yeah, and look, let's be honest, Matt, when we spoke about this, when we talked about Ryanair taking time to process refunds, the airlines, the travel industry cannot afford to return that cash right now. It's obviously in a little bit of a different position for Ryanair, but if you look at the smaller travel companies out there, travel agents who may have made bookings with hotels, travel agents who may have made bookings with other airlines, they cannot get the money back because they're not able to get the money from those companies themselves. If we want to have a travel agency industry, if we want to have tour operators out there, they need to be able to survive this current crisis. Many of them wouldn't have the resources. I'm not even too sure whether the travel regulator itself would have the money to start refunding travel agents that go bust. So we have to accept at some point in time, if we are bailing out certain industries, the travel industry, this is its bailout effectively by the fact that they are able to hold on to their cash that they've taken from you right now, or at least take a little bit longer to process it. You know, on the face of it, yeah, it's unfair. You've paid for a holiday you can't take. The airline has cancelled it and won't give you your money back. However, if everybody was to take their cash out now, Matt, it is a bit like a run on the banks, and we know what happens when you have a run on banks, they collapse. It would be no different for travel companies, travel agencies, tour operators, airlines, hotels, and everybody else. It is going to take some time to repay and reprocess all of this money, and there is a reason they're holding on for it right now. It's because they need it themselves.
Thank you very much, Ian Guider, markets editor of The Business Post.
Today FM's Last Word on Business with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.